Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness and dark occulted mysticism worshipping scum, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. A very special guest for this hour is Josh Toms, I believe. Josh, welcome to the program.
Yes, you pronounced it correctly. I live here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm an artist, inventor, visionary, and it's a long story how I got there. It's not really about me. What's going on is I'm in touch with a lot of these inventors, and these people have brilliant knowledge, great experiments to offer, and I decided through my artistic interpretations of what I was learning from these people and seeing the cultural development going on throughout each of the countries. I mean, it's going on in England, New Zealand, where you're at. America is starting to get there. So I decided to pull together a movement called the Million Volt March. It is backed by the Tesla Science Foundation, and on Tesla's birthday, we will be marching on the Liberty Bell in Pennsylvania to declare that there is a energy servitude. We have been shackled into this culture of parasitic technologies, and it's really sad to see that Tesla's vision was never really achieved, and we're still fighting to even, you know, accept some of the things he said. People don't believe half of what he said, but we utilize his technology all over.
Yeah. So anybody else out there using alternating current currently?
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody? Wait exactly. A second. Didn't that get totally demonized by, what was his name, Thomas Edison or something like that? He invented non-alternating current, and he said that alternating current would blow everybody up. He actually, like, electrocuted a cow or something in front of a big crowd of people and killed it.
Yeah, it was an elephant. And there's actually
even worse.
Yeah, you know, that's old political PR stunts. But, yeah, every time you flip on a switch, you can say, that is Tesla technology. There you go. And the Smithsonian said that Tesla did invent the radio. So Marconi just took his patents and built this radio, which Tesla really didn't care in those times because he wanted people to develop. He wanted the upliftment of mankind. It wasn't about him. It was about this idea, this spreading throughout the culture of a singularity of the Vitruvian man, how we're all a fractal reflection of this structural matrix hologram. It's the Great Pyramid.
Maybe so. Tesla was positively naive to think that because he's trying to help people, because he's trying to advance mankind, that everybody would just suddenly get it and get on board. And he didn't realize maybe that there are really psychopathic, sociopathic, scumbaggery individuals out there who have no interest in people living a free and happy life, and instead have no creativity either, so just steal his ideas and pretend that they're their own.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, J.P. Morgan bankrupt Tesla and caused the Wardenclyffe Tower, which was going to broadcast wireless electricity throughout the world free to humanity. He bankrupted it. Well, around the same time, you know, the Federal Reserve was getting going. Well, everyone has an alternative motive. So it's pretty startling. The one thing that startles me the most is a place in Homestead, Florida called Coral Castle. Have you ever heard of it?
No, not at all.
Okay, this thing's going to blow your mind. This thing is a way to wake up the masses, the people that really don't care about stuff, because it is incredible. And what is so incredible about it is that it was built by one man, an immigrant from Latvia. You can find the story online about his life, but he built this castle all by himself in Homestead, Florida in the 30s and the 40s. He actually moved it at one point, and the heaviest stone is 32 tons. He did it by himself. And there's an I'm not sure. I'm not the most technical person on this, the exact details. I'm more involved with the technological side of magnets and that kind of research. But it was a 9-ton gate or 11-ton, and it's perfectly balanced, and a little girl can push this thing. And it's incredible. If you check it out, you'll be... It shocked me. And he had a magnetic motor there. So, you know, I've been involved with trying to understand the universe because I've had some hard situations in life that I've had to grow through and develop into an understanding of what really is going on. It's too hard to understand. I'm just humbled by the experience at this point. But
I found that understanding is something that you only ever think you have until you reach another point. It's kind of like what they call Russian dolls, you know? There's a big understanding, and underneath that there's a smaller one and a smaller one and a smaller one, but it's kind of like infinite, sort of like the fractal universe theory. I'm sure you heard of that.
Let's get this picture for you. I know people may not be able to see this, but that's the Vitruvian Man on a fractal level, and that's what the Coral Castle guy left, was the dimensions of the Great Pyramid of Giza, and he also left some books with one of the most important symbols ever. If you pay attention to that symbol, the chalice, magnetic current. So his book is experiments. That's all it is. And it involves the Fibonacci sequence.
Hey, Josh, I'm sorry, there's some kind of a smoke alarm going off next to me, so just keep talking to the audience. I'm going to go check it out while you're talking.
Okay. And the magnetic current is just a bunch of experiments to show very subtle details of how energy is moving over a wire or through a magnetic metal that's been magnetized. I still don't understand this entire book. I'm learning from people, and it's only 19 pages. There's a man.
It's an incredibly small book, so not understand, you know.
Yeah, it is very complicated, and it's very simple too once you see it. So that's the thing. It's complexity and simplicity. That's what the universe is. It's the union of opposites. And right here, you can see that's a sphere. There's no actual straight lines on there. I've actually cubed a sphere. It's what's going on with Ed's work is he's showing the structure of the universe is magnets. And a guy out of Australia named Scott Lang has actually written a book. He hasn't published it yet, but he has done every experiment in this book. There's also a man out, he used to live in Florida, but now he's here in Denver. I met him recently. His name is John DePue. John DePue has done some incredible work involving Coral Castle. He created a thing called the Equilibrious Grid, where it distributes magnetic energy across an interface. It's incredible. I still don't understand all of, I mean, he hasn't shared everything either because he's concerned we might misuse this technology. There's so many different avenues. The connections, everything is connected in this. And I found that each one of these independent researchers have similar aspects. They may not have the full three-dimensional view of it, but they're all connecting on different lattices, and it's just incredible.
Well, sorry. When you say they're connecting on different lattices, what is a lattice? Is that a type of vegetable?
A lattice is like a spider web.
Ah,
a bunch of strands. It's like string theory, but I don't like the connotation of string theory. But it is a hologram, and that's but it's not empty like science is saying. It's full of energy and it's full of information, and that is the matrix, this informational field, and it's magnets.
David Eichmann says in one of his lectures that I went to that it's plasma. Like, everything's pretty much plasma. It's all energy.
John DePew has a website called magneticspectrum.com. You go there, there's a video, and that's it. But he says that it's like a spectrum of magnetism. So what's, you know, the Pink Floyd, the white light, and then it separates into the colors. It's like the Pythagorean triangle, the 3-4-5, just very simple math. That's what these guys are doing. John Searle, he goes into the magic squares in his work. It's these, and then Marco Rodin goes into a very simple circle with 9 digits, and it makes this perfect torus. I've actually got a Rodin coil right here.
Mm-hmm. It looks tasty.
Here's another one.
Oh, yeah. So,
these are just different technological things that are going on. And this movement is to try and uplift each of these individuals to come together and kind of put their egos aside, because we all have our own little views on things. I mean, no one's right. We're all going to be wrong one day, too, because Ed puts it perfectly. Every book becomes outdated. And then those books become outdated.
Yeah.
So,
well, what's interesting is that everything's kind of like a reinvention of itself over and over again. Yet, despite the fact that we don't know that notice that there's anything new, somebody's already done it beforehand, right? But we keep coming up with these new discoveries. And then the new discovery after that is to discover that somebody knew about this discovery before we discovered it.
Right, exactly. That's what the car has turned into. They've just fancified each individual component. They haven't turned the components around at all to see if they work in a different wiring. And that's what Ed actually did, was he took apart old Model T Ford parts, and he put the electrical system back together, built this magnet wheel, stacked these magnets 5 high. They used to just have 1 stack in the Model T. He took 5 of these things. It's a beautiful wheel. When you look at it, you see the geometry, and it actually has a 4-leaf clover in the middle of iron. It's very interesting. I get lost sometimes. There are so many different avenues with this. John Hutchison. Have you ever heard of John Hutchison?
It rings a very large bell. I don't know why.
John Hutchison did this thing called the Hutchison effect, where he used Tesla coils and caused things to lift up and levitate.
Oh, yeah. I remember somebody was telling me a story. He went out to the desert with John Hutchison and a bunch of other inventors. And he would he had like a file, you know, like those horse files kind of thing, or you file away the hoofs, and he managed to levitate one of those and break it in 3, and then put it back together, and then drop again, and then he'd levitate it again, make it go white hot, and then as soon as it would drop, he'd pick it up with his bare hands and not be burnt. It was like really amazing technology.
Yep, and that's messing with the molecular levels of these metals. All metal, I mean, there's different types of metal. There's and how it is affected with energy. But I kind of see certain metals as like an antenna. So when you get, it's just sitting there, it'll pick up energy just sitting in the air. I mean, that's what an element does. They pick up, that's why it would oxidize, because it's picking up the energy in the air. So this movement, we're going to get all these inventors, anyone that wants to come just to bring the community together of entrepreneurs and start a new renaissance, because that is what this world needs, and especially America right now, because There's so many people that are out of jobs. It's getting pretty insane how our banking system has completely screwed the planet. I mean, this is where, unfortunately, this is kind of where things are going to have to change. And it's going to be on the inside of this country. Every day when I go to work, I see NORAD. I live in Colorado Springs. So, a little bit of background on me. I built circuit boards for 4.5 years. So I got very electrical and technical. And now I'm running a CNC machine cutting granite countertops. So I understand Ed's stone cutting abilities and how hard it would have actually been. It's kind of weird how I ended up into those two avenues of professions. But, of course, I've been working on my own magnetic generator. This generator has been an inspiration based off of all these different people's work. So I haven't actually shared it because some of it is private information with other people. It's kind of becoming a glob of other people's work. So I'm not entirely sure if it's mine or if it's theirs, but one of these days I'm just going to share it. And it's just taking a car battery and utilizing the magnets more efficiently so that it'll last longer. And that's one avenue we can go down is batteries, because John Bedini is another inventor. John Bedini has a circuit. You can take one battery, pulse this magnet wheel, charge two batteries. The guy has been told not to sell his devices, so he's turned to just research and development up in Montana. But why are these people just going to the wayside?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty obvious. When in a country where everybody's out of work, and if you're out of work, you're out of food, anybody who can provide free energy means you don't need that country and its government and its military-industrial complex anymore, and nobody gives up their power. We'll be right back after the break with Josh Toms, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few minutes.
Is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about sending people to prison just because I don't like them. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. There's actually only really one rule on this show that's imposed on us by the network, and that's to have fun. And the other rules that are imposed on us are by the FCC, the effing FCC that I like to call them, who I like to often say F you to. My very special guest is Josh Toms. We were speaking over the break about how it doesn't matter how many devices you come up with to save you time, there's just never enough hours in the frickin' day. Now, and I always wondered why the hell this was. And his interests involve magnets and all of these other kind of things. And I was wondering, do you know, it'd be interesting to see if you could use a magnetic field to bend time so that you could, you know, make some kind of a capsule. Jump inside there, freeze time as it were, get all your work done for the day, and then come out and the day's only just began. And then you can get on with your life? That'd be cool.
Well, John DePew says that there's a third force in the universe, the positive and the negative magnets, and then the neutral particles of matter that separate matter existence. So that force actually can split time and space. It is the middle. It is the... in between, it is the hologram, the spider web of it all. Everything is connected to it. So that takes us to superconductivity. Superconductivity is exotic inventions or exotic materials that have a high Gauss energy, which is just energy. The technical term isn't important, but it can actually be so conductive. That means it's picking the energy like an antenna, that it can sense the twinkling of stars they're finding on some of these nano superconductors. And that could be researched through David Hudson's work. Each one of these names I'm giving you tonight, you're going to have to research. It's too deep to get into in an hour. So these superconductors, the United States Defense Department classes them as national security if you want to patent one of these things and build it. So isn't that a catch-22? What if we want free energy? But to have free energy, you have to have one of these superconducting machines. Makes sense to me. Let's make it illegal to patent. So that means there is no free enterprise. These people's machines are going to the wayside. Ed of Coral Castle made a patent, and he actually put in his book, "Don't build my machine because I have a patent in the patent office." This is in 1945. There's no records of it. You can't find it. There's no evidence of this patent. That 32-ton stone, I don't know exactly the year he lifted it. 1/5 the weight of the Saturn V rocket that took us to the moon. One man. Yeah. So we live in a very strange world. You know, we have a great pyramid that people think we drug logs and had a bunch of slaves and put this into perfect geometric order. I mean, just to cut the red granite inside the king's chamber, I'm sorry, you can't do it with copper unless they had some sort of exotic tool like Ed, who obviously in his public addresses said, "I have the secret of the Great Pyramid of Giza." So maybe we should take his claim.
I was watching a travel show one time, and this woman who's hosting the travel show is, you know, going down the Nile with this man, and she asked him how did the pyramids get built, and he told her, "Well, in our oral traditions, it says we use the wand. You know, you would just tap the stone, and it would levitate, and you could just walk it along the river, just giving it a nudge every now and again." You know, really amazing. And this is part of the oral tradition that's been passed down through to generations over thousands of years, and the story hasn't changed. And yet, I think it's in the modern era where you know what reductionism is, right? Of course, and I think basically people, they refuse to believe that magic and technology are basically the same thing. And so they try to eliminate any mention of advanced technology from the ancient world in order to make people think that it was just, oh, it was just so simple, you know. It was obviously just copious quantities of slaves that dragged these 100-ton stones that even the most advanced freaking cranes in the modern world can't even freaking lift, you know. And people don't investigate into it. People don't know about the Graham Hancock and his work on the pyramids, and even the Sphinx, okay? The Sphinx is huge, and it's a singular stone that is not from there. It is not physically possible, not technologically possible, in this day and age, with conventional technology that we have here, to do that. And it's not a question of, oh, it must be magic, or how did they do that? It's just that technology is magical to those who don't understand it.
Superconductors, these nano superconductors I was talking about. One of the experiments that was going on when the guy was trying to patent this substance, the government wanted to know what it weighed because, you know, there's all these, you know, these set things that they have to know. He couldn't weigh it because when you cooled it off, it weighed more than what the original sample was. And if you heated it up, it would eventually become invisible and it caused the Petri dish to weigh less than the scale. It would go zero. So what if you had this white powder and you sprinkled it on a big stone? Could it just kind of lift up because it's a superconductor, and maybe it started repelling a magnetic field, which is what they say superconductors do, and the Earth has a magnetic field. So, I think it's funny when we built these rockets, we could have got, we may not been able to get the people back, but we've been able to get into space a lot easier with an electromagnet and a guy on a seat with a magnet. Just turn that thing on like a speaker. If it was big enough, he'd end up in space.
Yeah, more impressive a superconductor than the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. I was also thinking about this as well, is the classification of technologies under national security. And I defined national security meaning tyranny, and national being globalist, really. So in order to maintain globalist tyranny, they classify things under national security, right? And it occurs to me that if technology was freed in such a way, it would be impossible for them to maintain control, because everybody would suddenly have access to these kind of superior devices and the jig would be up, as it were.
You know where this is really startling? Is with this magnet wheel that I've been working on, and from a lot of these people that I've looked into, it's very simple. We all can build these things. And the thing that's going to be really startling, and I see it coming, they're already talking about electromagnetic pulses. Well, to do this, you have to pulse DC electricity, because that's what Tesla in his later life found, was his AC was nice, but his fascination ended up being with the pulse DC energy and how that actually worked. Well, Coral Castle does the same thing. These people are connected. Walter Russell is connected to these two also, but I'm not going to go off onto that. This pulse DC is like a radio transmitter. It creates an energy field and it pulses outwards, and you can collect it. So if our technology is outdated and we're not building it based off of how energy naturally works, when you get this high energy, like Niagara Falls, you can't just dam it up. You're going to have to put a little paddle wheel in it. Well, our technology tries to dam everything up, and that's why a laptop heats up so much. It's a waste of energy. Well, with this pulsing energy, it actually is going to cause these technological flaws to be inherent. So they are protecting the grid in a way, which we don't want to just collapse everything, but they're also using the grid as a way to also stop it as national security. So it's another catch. We've built this fake infrastructure based off of this electron view that clearly isn't right, because we haven't... What is Michio Kaku built? What great invention has Michio Kaku built? He's written books. These inventors, artists, I see them as, they take knowledge from nature and they implement it, they apply it, and that's far better than to theorize the universe. An artist observes the world. A physicist nowadays theorizes the world, but they shouldn't. They should base their world off of experimental data, by observational data, not equations. And I had a Stephen Hawking's book. I don't even know where that guy's at. It's incredible how we look to these people that are put up in front of us, and we forget the people that actually are putting something important out.
And we live an upside-down opposites world, really. The people who don't know nothing are touted as the geniuses, and the people who know really what's happening are touted as the crazy people.
There's a really startling artwork, piece of architecture in front of the Vatican of this giant pine cone. I'm sure you've seen it. People say it's the pineal gland. Well, what they don't really notice is man is on the bottom of this chalice, and all of this is above him. Well, there is the magnetic current symbol on there blatantly all around this thing, and it's above us. It's like symbolically unachievable. Well, I say this is bull. I think the culture is coming together. We have the, or not idols, but people to look up to, the people that have sacrificed so much. And those are some of the names I've been saying. These people are really doing stuff out there. John DePew, John Searle, John Bedini, John, David Hudson, John Hutchison, Marco Rodin, Randy Powell, you'll have him on tomorrow. His work is really awesome with Daniel. There's so many great minds out there, but we need to come together and just put our egos aside. We don't know everything, and just uplift the people that matter. And the people that really matter are, I feel, these inventors right now, because they're the ones really able to affect change through true liberty, through true expressionism, through artistic, technological pun metaphors.
Well, see, they're capable of doing, of freeing people with a device that that is very technical, whereas other people could never achieve freedom for humanity with any amount of pontification or philosophy.
Yeah, just look at what Tesla did. It isn't, I mean, we're 100 years later, we're still using it.
And did you see the YouTube video? I think Jay Leno was driving around in one of the new Tesla cars. You see that?
Yeah.
I thought that was extraordinary. You know, here you have, you know, mainstream comedian cruising around in a freaking Tesla car. And by the end of the video, it becomes apparent to him that simply by driving around and having the car charge itself going down hills, that he will return home with actually more fuel than he left home with.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's too bad that we're still where we're at. After the oil spill, after Fukushima, I mean Fukushima, my gosh, the amount of nuclear power plants in the United States, right in California too, where all the earthquakes are there. I mean, come on, people, when are we going to learn? We need to come to this. This is what is frustrating the most for me, and that's why I'm starting this, because these inventors have the solutions. John Hutchison can reverse radiation effects. He went down to the oil spill and was broadcasting the natural frequencies across the water and was reducing the corexic and the oil in the water. But then the government came and scared him away. So it is the military industrial complex that is, and it's probably more deeper than that. The media is involved, the corporate conglomerate.
It's like Bill Hicks and George Carlin have been telling us through their comedy for years, that there is a big club and they own everything. They own the media, they own the industry, they own the medicine, they own you, right? We are the very definition of livestock. Apparently, when we get issued a birth certificate, there's a tracking number on there, and you can check out that tracking number on the frickin' Wall Street Stock Exchange, and there you go. You'll find out how much you're worth. You are literally live stock on the stock market. We'll be right back after the break with Josh Toms at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and we'll respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino, I'm not Tina Tonga. We don't own the banks. The parliament does so. So where do you ever stand?
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment of the Vinny Eastwood Show today. My very special guest, Josh Toms. You can go to see his YouTube channel, youtube.com/JToms111. JToms111 is his YouTube name, and he's also on Facebook, I believe is the correct pronunciation, facebook.com/josh.toms.7. So it's josh.toms.7 on Facebook. Welcome back, mate. Now, is there any elements of your research that you've kind of delved into that's actually kind of really scared the bejesus out of you?
Dr. Judy Wood.
Mm-hmm.
John Hutchison and her come together. If you have free energy, couldn't you blow up a planet? Couldn't you make a Death Star? Is that crazy to say nowadays? But we actually have lasers that can, like a handheld laser that can burn through a ceramic cup. I mean, that's a death ray. Tesla talked about a death ray. He built that supposedly in the 30s. Well, you know, maybe there's a death ray out there. That's what concerns me, is the idea of direct energy weapons.
How exactly do they work? Are they capable of, I don't know, like using the natural energy that's in the atmosphere and just channeling it so that it goes?
It's a very technical question. It's a way to force energy into a tip. It's like a diode. You're wanting to force it into a channel. That's what a laser diode is. So you want to do like what a microwave does. You want to raise the voltage really high. You want to create a potential that like an antenna structure or a metal could pick it up. Or at a certain point, you would actually get down to the molecular energy structure where it's like a heat or a plasma. So it's not exactly that plasma where it's igniting, but it is exciting the energy bonds in the molecular structure. So it is like a microwave. You put a paper towel in a microwave, it won't cook. But if you put a wet paper towel in there, it'll cook. It's a technical subject. It's the Star Wars project from the 80s that Reagan did. It's startling. I've always wondered what happened, and I feel Dr. Judy Wood's book is incredible, to say the least. This movement is about people that are trying to expose that we don't know everything, that when, like in a court case, when you're convicting somebody to go to prison, you want to get all the evidence before you make any decisions or any predeterminations. You don't want to put a guy that's innocent behind bars. You want to get the truth out there and find out, how did he die? Who, where, when? You know, all those details. We don't have those details on 9/11. And even the nanothermite stuff isn't there. I know this is, they're going to say, a radical view, and it might push people away from this movement, but it is the other side of free energy technology, is that we can do harm with it. And that's why John DePew, who I respect greatly, is not releasing a lot of his work, because are we ready for this too? I mean, this is a very deep kind of question we have to ask ourselves. We have to have it because of the situation we've put ourselves in. But are we capable of having it? It's one of those catch-22 things. Are we going to blow ourselves up again? I mean, we have to be really wholehearted with this and want to do good. And I feel that all of these inventors are wanting to do good. And those are the people we need to be looking up to. Tesla, even though Edison was kind of a crooked guy, he still had a vision. I mean, why are we looking up to people like Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber. These are just people put up in front of us that, you know, they're talented. They have their own rights, but are they actually determining our future? Are they affecting generations to come? Are they actually visionaries like Leonardo da Vinci, who clearly knows what the hell he was talking about with the Vitruvian Man, as blatant intellectual genius? It's incredible how we've gotten to the point where we are today.
Yeah, I think we've just got our priorities out of whack. And I went to this sort of dance party festival last weekend, filming it for a friend of mine who was organizing. And I was quite surprised to find out that I'm actually a celebrity in New Zealand now. You know, people were coming up to me, they knew who I was, and they were really happy to see me and that kind of thing. And even at the bar we went to afterwards for the after party, I still had people coming up to me, people I didn't recognize and never knew from a bar of soap, you know, that kind of thing. And I was thinking, man, that's actually people who've got their frickin' priorities correct, okay? They actually want to hear the truth. They actually want to do something that's right. And there were a whole bunch of other people, which I'm sad to say far outnumbered the people who knew who I was, who were vacuous, soulless, mindless morons who have nothing, really. They got nothing. They got a slave job, a slave mentality, and they love their slave society. And they ain't going to take this society anywhere good. They're only going to make it go down. They ain't going to push it up. And it's occurred to me throughout history that it's always been a small minority of people who get it, who really figure out what is important, that wind up changing the world for future generations. When you talk about waking up the masses, I kind of hold back from that, and I think to myself, can we ever point at any moment in history where the masses, meaning over 50% of the population, has actually ever made a positive difference? I don't think there is such an example that we can point to. Even positive revolutions like the American Revolution, who threw off the chains of the king, was fought by, what, 3% of the population? Tops? You know? The masses don't matter, and historically never have. And I think that's when we try to wake up the masses that we forget to work on doing the right thing by doing the wrong thing, which is trying to wake up the masses. If you know what I mean, I'm not trying to say that people don't matter and they should be exterminated or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's a minority of people who do the vast majority of the work, and those are the people we should be focusing on. Those are the people who we should be helping to do what they can't already do. You know, like maybe you don't have a radio show or something like that, and you can't record this and record the video and broadcast on all these things by yourself. I can, and so I give you the ability, something that which perhaps you cannot do yourself. And that's a small example of how one person can help another person, and then you've got all these people listening that winds up helping even more. You see what I'm saying? That's the paradigm that I'm after. You help people who've already helped themselves by doing things for them that they can't quite do for themselves yet.
I couldn't agree more. I really like that. It's like the founding fathers. There were how many signed the Declaration? It wasn't the whole country. It was these inspired individuals that had been through trials and tribulation and felt what life is, that hard, you know, reality check, that things aren't always going to be the way you want them to. And it's the people that lift themselves up by the bootstraps, like these inventors, or like the artists of the world, or the musicians, the people trying to express themselves, that's where the imagination and technology and magic come together.
Indeed. And lastly, just before we get off, I'm sorry, I need to change topic here, but my friend James Wright, who is exposing the 33rd degree, the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, is currently living in his car, ladies and gentlemen. He's been kicked out, he's being demonized, he's being attacked and stuff like that. And his editor for his book has said that he can stay with him in order to continue writing, but he's in California. And currently, James is in Texas, so he needs some money just for gas, just to get from Texas to California. So if people could please donate, I think it's going to cost maybe $300. If somebody can donate me $300, I will forward that on to James. We've already had somebody donate $50, 50 New Zealand dollars, and I want to get James to California so that he doesn't have to live in his freaking car. In order to do his really important work exposing the Supreme Council, and he's the biggest high-level whistleblower in Freemasonic history, ladies and gentlemen. So please, if you can, just open your wallets and just get that guy to California, if you can, please. All right, that's out of the way. Josh, thank you very much for coming on the show with me today. Your YouTube channel, youtube.com/JTOMS1111, and on Facebook, .com/josh.toms.7. That's josh.toms.7. Thank you very much for your time today, my friend.
Pleasure.
All right. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And I hope you have really enjoyed the broadcast that we try and put together for you, because it's so easy for me to say that I just, you know, come here and jump on the radio and just spurtle BS out of my mouth for a couple of hours or something like that, and apparently people really appreciate it. So I'm really glad that you do. I just hope that you become part of that small determined minority that chooses to take action with this knowledge, and don't just sit back and keep listening for more. Make something happen today. We'll see you again sometime.